dream. I was flying high, I was feeling fine. I won't be put in line, cause I'm
Simply Financial with Christopher Colandra, certified financial planner, is an innovative, comprehensive, informative, and cutting-edge podcast that discusses financial topics ranging from personal finance, economics, politics, and personal growth. Simply Financial will cover intriguing and thought-provoking questions so that the listener can simply increase their financial IQ.
Welcome to episode number 36 of season number 2. This is the Simply Financial podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Colandra. Today, I want to talk to you about the exciting world of required minimum distributions. That might be a little bit of an oversell, a little too much marketing, but it is an important topic. Required minimum distributions often go by the shorthand of RMD. So first off, what are RMDs? You have to, when you attain the age of 70 and a half, begin taking money out of certain retirement accounts, including IRAs, SEP IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, 457s, and others as well. The reason for this, first and foremost, it's important to recognize that the sole reason why we have to go through this exercise is that the government and the IRS wants the tax revenue. If you've been accumulating money in these retirement accounts over the course of many, many years during your working career, you got several tax benefits. Often you got a tax deduction, money grew tax deferred, and you did not have to take the money out at any point. But at 70 and a half, essentially the IRS is tired of waiting for you to withdraw money out. They're going to make you withdraw some money out so that they can tax the money. Money that's withdrawn from these accounts is typically going to be subject to both federal and state income taxes. So let's talk about 70 and a half, because the first time you have to take a distribution, there's a quirk in the rule. Generically, people talk about when you get to 70 and a half, you have to take money out. It's a little more complicated than this. Now, I want to give you the definition of when you have to take your first distribution. And please keep in mind that only the government could come up with something so silly as this definition. You have to take your first distribution by the April 1st of the year following the year you turned 70 and a half. Crazy, right? Let me say it again. You have to take your first distribution by the April 1st of the year following the year you turn 70 and a half. What that means, breaking it down more simply, is that you could not take your first distribution in the year you turn 70 and a half, but you could postpone it into the subsequent year. And what that means, though, is that in that second year after you turn 70 and a half, you'd have to take two distributions, one for the first year, which you postponed, and one for the second. Generally speaking, there's no reason to do that. There are examples that I've worked with clients on over the years where it did make sense to do that. For example, let's say the year you turn 70 and a half, you don't want to postpone it because you have way more income in that year than you might have in the following year. So you might want to postpone it, take two the following year, but your tax situation may look differently. But generally speaking, it is just a quirk in the rules, but it's not something that gets used much. The RMD is calculated using a formula provided by the government that takes into account both age and account balance. And you use the 1231 account balance of the preceding year. Your first distribution, you're typically going to have to take out about 3.5% of what your IRA value is. So let's say you have an IRA, let's say it's worth $100,000 or $1 million. You would have to take out about 3.6% in the first year. Each year, the formula updates and the percentage you have to take out goes up as you become older. Then depending on your IRA or retirement account value, you may have to take out more in dollars or less in dollars depending on how the formula plays out. Understand that this required minimum distribution, the RMD, is the minimum amount you have to take out. If you want to take out more than the government mandates, that's perfectly fine. It'll probably be subject to federal and state income taxes. So you do have lots of flexibility on the income front, but you do have this minimum that you need to be aware of. The IRS takes this exercise very seriously. Makes sense, right? They want the tax revenue. If you do not comply with the rules and you're caught, they will charge you a 50% penalty. So let's say your required minimum distribution was $10,000, just to use a round number, and you fail to do it, and the IRS catches you, they would charge you $5,000 or 50% of the $10,000. That's an awfully steep penalty to pay. In the real world, I will say that most people are not trying to get out of this. That's extraordinarily rare. And in instances where a client or an investor makes a mistake and doesn't take their RMD, I've seen lots of instances where if you come to the IRS with a letter and explain that it was an oversight, you take the RMD in future years, they do not impose the 50% penalty. So it's not to say that you want to be reckless with this. You want to pay attention, make sure you're taking out the correct amount of money from the accounts that are required to do this RMD calculation, but the 50% penalty is not applied that often, except if you're really trying to get away with something, then the IRS will smash you with a 50% penalty. One of the things that is confusing, I think, is that the IRS, remember, they want the tax revenue. That's really all they're after. So if you have, let's say, 10 IRAs, and the 10 IRAs total $100,000 or $1 million, the IRS wants to make sure that you take the correct amount of money out based on that $100,000 or $1 million total value. They don't care whether you take it pro rata from the 10 IRAs or if you take all of it from one IRA and don't take any income from the other nine, or if you take it from three and not the other seven. The IRS doesn't care. They just add up all the IRAs, run the formula. There's a minimum amount you have to take out. Which of the IRAs you take it out, they are not interested in whatsoever. They just want the tax revenue. So sometimes from a planning perspective, let's say a client has an IRA in the bank and an IRA that's invested in the stock market and they feel good about the stock market, so they might take the total required minimum distribution from the bank account that's a slower grower and leave the IRA that's invested and not have touched it for the RMD calculation. That's a very simple example, but there are planning opportunities that we work with clients on to determine which accounts we might want to take the RMD from so that we meet the obligation of the RMDs and satisfy the IRS, but do it on the smartest basis possible given their portfolio and financial situation. Some options for the proceeds that we see in working with clients. Not everybody wants to take money from their IRAs or 401ks. So you do have the option to reinvest it. Now, you can't, in most instances, reinvest it into a 401k and IRA unless you're still working. But you can reinvest it into other parts of your portfolio, joint accounts, trust accounts, brokerage accounts, college funds. So lots of our clients choose to reinvest the money, keep it in the portfolio, keep it invested in one vehicle or another, and not use it to spend. Of course, you could take the money out and spend it, travel, pay bills, do whatever you want with the money. We also see individuals often use the RMD to fund other priorities, such as gifting, that could be to grandchildren to fund college funds. It could be gifting to a charity or charities that are near and dear to their heart. It could be used to fund long-term care and or life insurance as part of their overall estate planning strategy. So again, lots of times people take the money out, they don't necessarily want to spend it. We opt not to reinvest it, but we use it to fund other priorities. Please note in this conversation that Roth IRAs are increasingly popular. I think the tax law that came into effect in December 2017, or I should say was signed into law in December 2017 and became effective January 1st, 2018, made Roth IRAs even more popular and advantageous than they were before. Roth IRAs, one of their many benefits is that they are not subject to RMDs. So somebody that has $1 million in a traditional IRA has to begin taking money out at 70.5. Keep in mind the quirky definition of 70.5. But somebody that has $1 million in a Roth IRA is not subject to RMD rules. And that's a neat feature of the Roth IRA. And it's another example of some planning that we could do with clients on the retirement account front. So we have covered the exciting world of RMDs. Hopefully that makes you a little smarter about the workings of IRAs and RMDs, especially if you're anywhere near 70.5. Thanks for joining me today. You can get more information about me and the team at Elliott Wealth Management Services by visiting our website. It is www.elliottwealth.com. At the website, please sign up if you're not a client already for our complimentary no-cost consultation where we could discuss your financial situation and discuss our philosophies and how we help clients achieve their financial goals and become smarter with money. Also at the website, you can sign up for our monthly mailing list and please subscribe to the Simply Financial podcast, which we publish weekly and we like to have lots of subscribers. Again, thank you. I will be back on an upcoming episode of the Simply Financial podcast very soon.
The views expressed are not necessarily the opinion of SagePoint Financial Incorporated and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities mentioned herein. Investing is subject to risks, including loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations can vary. Therefore, the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Please note, the information being provided is strictly as a courtesy. When you link to any of the websites provided here, you are leaving this website. We make no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information provided at these websites, nor is the company liable for any direct or indirect technical or system issues or any consequences arising out of your access to your use of third-party technologies, websites, information, and programs made available through this website. When you access one of these websites, you are leaving our website and assume total responsibility and risk for your use of the websites you are linking to. Securities and advisory services are offered through SagePoint Financial Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, insurance services offered through Elliott Wealth Management, LLC, not affiliated with SagePoint Financial. I won't be putting